Are we there yet? Answers the questions on every impatient person's mind. Where are we in this on-chain journey? Are we making the world a better place? Are we building smarter, better, faster things? Are we building valuable businesses? Hop in and join us as we have real talk with real people who are building the things to make a dent in the way the world works. My name is Chris Everly, and this is Are We There Yet? All right, here we are at this very fancy podcast booth in at ETH Denver. Welcome to Are We There Yet? From the Crypto Sapiens network of podcasts. I'm joined by esteemed guests from Open Season. You already know me very well, your host, Chris Everly. Could I have each of you fine gentlemen introduce yourselves and what you're working on?
Hey guys, my name is Gianni Secchi. I go by Crypto Crooks online. A friend of mine and I started this thing called Fractional Uprising Studios and abbreviated as FU Studios just to have fun. It's kind of an ambitious idea and it's taken a long time to kind of take form. And now we've finally found our probably first premiere production, which is Open Season. And that's what we're here to talk about. We're really excited about it. It's coming along well. And I'm just ecstatic to have the people around us to make this stuff come into form. So I'm going to pass it on to our good friend, Sasha.
Hey, guys. My name is Sasha. I've known Chris pretty much almost my entire life.
Nepo podcast. Yeah.
And he actually introduced me to the guys from Open Season. I've been in crypto for a while. I actually got him into crypto back in the day, 2016, I think. And he introduced me to these guys, and I love the project, love the concept, and was fortunate and love to be able to, you know, help them out with tokenomics and even like building the game and stuff like that. So yeah, super excited to be here and excited for the launch and see you.
All right, and last but not least.
I'm Korn. And I'm DeFi heavy. I've been a gamer, specifically Unreal gamer, since 1999. I love that game so much. I love everything on the Unreal Engine. I loved Open Season from the first time I played it. I've done a few things in crypto because of these guys. They suckered me into it 7 years ago, and here we are today.
Yeah. Yep, you can thank and blame us every day. All right, so that's it, man. So let's get into this. So Gianni, for people who are tuning in that don't know what Open Season is and maybe are outside of crypto even, what's this game all about?
Yeah. So the closest comparison is it's a battle royale. People are quite familiar with Fortnite, but where things get interesting with us is we're fortunate to incorporate some Web3 factors that change the whole complexity of the game. It allows a different kind of battle to where you have financially motivated fan base. So there's two different aspects to change how players interact in the battlefield. I mean, you can chase something that's going to help you with your token, which are beans, which we'll elaborate furthermore. And, you know, you actually have the entertaining gameplay. So what you're seeing a lot in Web3 right now is a lot of play to earn stuff. And we're not necessarily focusing on the play to earn factor first. We believe we want to entertain and then bring that as a secondary factor for how we're going to bring in a user base. And it gets quite complex when we're talking about the native coin that we're trying to drop to our whole project. So bear with us. And once you wrap your head around the whole token, you might be a little bit shocked that we're doing something quite different. So get prepared for FU money.
And by the way, we're really fans of PFF, Play for Fun. So that's something that we want to bring it back.
The most important thing about all of this, even with all these Web3 integrations, is that we're building a game that is fun and that people are going to play.
Yep. Yeah. So let's talk about that. So it's like Fortnite. It's built on the Unreal Engine. It's available, by the way, on the Epic Game Store now, right?
As of yesterday.
As of yesterday.
It was good, boys. Good work.
Pretty good.
Man. You went through hell.
I know, so it sounds like there's some interesting Web3 components. We're going to get into those. Why build another Fortnite-like game? Like, where did this come from?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good question. We had been just playing chess for years to try to expose this concept for the studio. And you can't really talk to people and say, hey, listen to me, this is a good idea. Like, people just don't care. And that's the honest truth. So what we realized is, like, we have to build something and just let people experience it. And this is kind of like the first chess move to the giant match, really. And why it makes sense that we're doing this is it's basically a melting pot of brands. And essentially, the more communities that come into the battle, the better brand awareness comes towards the whole concept of the studio. So it was almost a strategy move. And that doesn't mean that we're entirely committed to making this thing a badass game, because that, like, dude, we, Sasha and everybody sees these just arguments happen all the time, like cussing each other out at like how passionate we are to make this thing a damn good game. So I think we've just kind of grown into this as it being our child, and we realize that people care about what we're offering. Like, this is all these different communities that have passion about their particular PFP, for instance, coming into one place at a melting pot. And that's sort of a marketing strategy at the same time. So it's really just a big chess move to expose our project. And at the same time, like, we've just fallen in love with making something that's going to be badass. Like, we're just convinced with that. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think what first interested me about the project when we, you know, when we first got connected through PleaserDAO was just the focus on making an awesome game that's fun to play. And that's what you led with. I know your background as a creator, as an artist, and it really shows through that this has been about, you know, for what, a couple of years now, just building a great product. Yeah,
man. And thank you. That means the world. I mean, I'm just a dude, and just like we're just trying to make something cool. I mean, there's no ego here. It is what it is. We're real fortunate to have a good group around us, and it's not just me. Like, this wouldn't be really anywhere without the help of everybody. So, I mean, especially this guy sitting next to me, Sasha, has been a fucking monster. So I'm thankful for all these people at the same table.
When he dives in, he goes deep. He goes right to the bottom.
Hell yes.
Go monster.
One thing that I was going to say also that actually I really liked when we started talking about how you came up with the idea and the concept is that you told me that it was from the frustration that a lot of these PFP projects we're just creating like these JPEGs that a lot of the times were just JPEGs, and yeah, they wanted to create something to add utility to these things. And I love the permissionless aspect of it, that anyone can add value to a system by just going in and participating. And he just, oh, you know what? I'll actually add value to your JPEGs. Yeah. And I love that concept. That's what drew me into crypto, open source software and that kind of stuff. It's just the fact that anyone can just come in and add value to it permissionlessly.
So, yeah, and then activate communities in the process.
Exactly,
yeah?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. Like, at the beginning of this whole concept of the studio, I mean, we were writing articles and like nobody gave a shit about it, to be honest with you. But we're trying to like ensure the price floor of these PFP projects. And that's a lofty goal to have. But if you look at how PFP projects are built, like, they're fundamentally flawed at its core, because the only community incentive is profit. People are lying to each other. That's it. And we created something called like value funnels to try to explain the concept of the studio. And basically with PFPs, you just have one entrance into the community and it goes out and you only collect profit. Now, when you're doing productions, you're sucking people in from the creative side and users from the top side, and it just keeps revolving. It's a revolving door. So that is where things start to get exciting with, like, there's a greater incentive to stay into the community and facilitate our token than to just leave for profit. So, you know, we have a long-term goal for this, and we think we could be starting something quite special if, you know, time will tell, but we're just busting our ass in the meantime to make the next chess move. So that's what is what it is.
So let's get into, let's talk about the way that people access the game today and the way they'll access it tomorrow, and studio passes and game passes and all of this stuff, which I think is, you know, the intersection of playing the game but also activating these NFT communities that you're talking about. Who wants to map that out for us?
That's all him. I just want to
pump Sasha up before he starts talking about this.
There we go.
Sasha has been a smart contract builder for a very long time. He's done a lot of Web3 integrations, and this is where the magic starts, because previously, I couldn't believe this. I didn't know that people didn't integrate Web3 games into the Unreal Engine. That was a no-brainer to me.
Yeah.
Sasha is the person to make this integration happen in a seamless way that abstracts away all the complexity of, like,
all the bullshit.
Minimizing windows and opening MetaMask and all of that. It's not there anymore because of him. So take it away.
Dude, he's done something incredible.
Well, what I want to, well, let's just start with from the beginning. I think one thing that is very important to note is that the whole concept of the studio is about the community. So the way that, you know, funds were raised to be able to build the game was through the sales of NFTs. And these are these NFTs, which are membership of the studio. The first initial, we call them OG memberships. And they were the ones that were able to bootstrap the production. And I love, this is the first thing that I loved about it, is that I do love the concept of being able to, you know, raise from your community and bootstrap from the community. Yeah. Of course, you can get rugged when that happens, depending on the project. But hey, it's your, you know, it's your opinion. You can do whatever you want, right? It's your right to be rugged, let's just say. If you want to go in, let go in.
All of us we at this table
exactly,
have
I don't need to
that,
have
right.
exactly yeah, have to right. exercise our right to be rugged.
Yes.
And they did that. And of course, they have good intentions. They were building the game. They are building the game. And so the first idea was, you know, I really liked. And then, so to access the game right now, you need to have early access. It's the alpha version. So you need to have the membership, the NFT. So what we decided to do is, obviously, before we were doing this plugin, whatever, in Unreal, that you had to open up your MetaMask. It was clunky. So we're like, oh, let's just put that on the site. You have the Open Season site. You go to the website. You need to have an Epic account, because that's your main account for Epic Games anyways. So you sign in through your Epic account. And then we just connect your, you know, the wallet that you hold, your NFT, to that Epic account. And then when you log into the game, you get the ID from the Epic account. And we just check, you know, do a call to our server, check if you have the NFT in your wallet. If you do, just go and play the game. After you do it once, you have a seamless Web2 experience and gaming like you always did. No problem. And now, so this is for the early access.
Yeah.
Now we also have this concept for game passes, because one thing that I never really understood with these NFT projects is that I got into crypto because it's about inclusion. It's about permissionlessness, right? It's about allowing people to get in. And we're just creating these gatekeeping communities with these like NFTs that you're just creating walls, right? Barriers. And everyone's just creating these silos. And I was like, you know, you want people to play the game. It's a multiplayer battle royale game. The more players, the better, right? Yeah. So we want to have the ability for anyone to just come in. So we came up with this concept of game passes. So game passes are just like whatever, the ability for anyone to join and get to play the game. So the game, literally game passes are just a person goes in, signs in with their Epic account with access code that these memberships can produce.
Yeah.
And then these game passes are associated with the, you know, the membership NFT. And then these individuals don't need a wallet, don't need a Web, to know anything about Web3. They just go to the website, enter, log in, like Google login, you know, they do an Epic login, and now they can just go and play the game, download the game and play.
So do I need an NFT?
What's that?
Do I need an NFT?
No. I mean, you need an NFT for early access, but once the game is out, you don't need an NFT. All you need is an access code that hopefully it's going to be very easy to find, because there's an incentive for these access codes to be out there.
So what I'm so ecstatic about that is, if you take a step back and look at it from like the macro perspective of what that means, what you see right now in Web3 is just a lot of people playing on the PC, you know, but this particular process allows us to port to Xbox, to PlayStation, wherever we want to go. And all it is you're signing up, you're logging, you're doing the necessary protocol like on our website, and then that's it. You don't need to get onto your browser and get into MetaMask and do all that crap. Like,
yeah,
that just it causes friction, right? And this is just so awesome because we can just go to Xbox in a few months if we really decide to do that port, and that's crazy.
Show me another Web3 game on Xbox.
You don't have them. They're not there, dude.
They're not there.
Is there anything like that today?
Not to my knowledge. I'm granted, you know, I don't go out there like sniffing around all the time. No, there might be something like that. However, like, this is just seamless, easy access to just get wherever we want to go.
And the game is 100% free to play. So all like, I was talking to some kids, friends of, you know, I guess sons of a friend of mine. I told them about the concept, and I told them that it's free to play. That they were like, "Dude, can I play on my PlayStation?" I was like, "Well, we can port it." They were like, "This is incredible. I don't have to spend money." And then I was like, "Well, you can actually make money playing." And then they were like,
"Yeah, dude, that's nuts. I love it."
Okay, so it will it'll be playable it's playable on PC now if you have an NFT and have early access. But eventually, you're saying playable on consoles, but also playable by anybody. They just show up, they just have a code to put in like they would for, you know, whatever they're used to on Steam or whatever. They're just showing up with a code. They don't need to know anything about crypto.
No, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, and the cool thing about this like Access Game Pass thing is you're basically kind of creating affiliate marketers for everybody in your community. And it's just, if anybody has watched all this stuff happen with FriendTech and all these referral codes that are all over the place, this thing can get wild pretty quickly. So that's why we're focusing on the fundamentals of the game first. The mechanics got to be kick ass, and like the game's got to be cool.
It's about the game first and foremost. It's about the game.
Yeah.
And one thing that's also super important is this is pretty formal right here. This podcast thing.
Very formal.
You know,
I mean, you're not wearing pants right now, but other than that,
that's true. But like, when we're just being us as a team, that's the greatest part. We're all kind of idiots in a good way, you know? We're just dudes. I keep thinking of it like that. And there's just a lot of funny stuff that we're putting in this game. So,
let's talk about some of the funny stuff. Let's throw some some Easter eggs out there. What do we got? So, I saw something about an FTX ad with SBF.
Right? Yeah.
So Sam Bankman-Fried makes an appearance.
Yeah, he does.
People got to find it.
Oh, yeah. He's in there. And then there's a bunch of just dude humor in there, too. So take that for what it is. But I'm sure you'll laugh when you'll get around to it. But yeah, Sam Bankman-Fried's there. We've got BitBoy's Lambo in there. Vitalik is looking happy walking around.
He's excited. He's risen to the occasion.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean... Oh, well, we had a little fiasco with OpenSea, and there's just a burning effigy in there.
Let's go there a little bit. Let's go a little deeper on that.
I'm down. It's
those guys.
Yeah, those dudes. I think they've always just been kind of bullies, and that's part of the reason why like the game is a kind of a jab at OpenSea. It's open season. And that's kind of how it all started. We've just been trolls to start. We sent a fake cease and desist. We acted like OpenSea gave us a cease and desist for our name, and it kind of went viral on Twitter. And everybody was like, "Dude, fuck these guys, whatever. I can't believe this shit." The comments were just nuts, and that was really good exposure. And then everybody still thinks that they sent that to us, but they never did.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the start of our I don't know, whatever the hell it is. And it kind of grew a little bit further than that. People started to figure out what we were doing, and it was beautiful. We kind of minted out overnight, and then started getting this momentum. And I think people started to notice like what the concept was. They were just doing a little bit of research. It's just mad. I don't know. But out of nowhere, OpenSea just delisted us. And this happened. We're not the only ones to do that. They just kind of do whatever they want. And to be honest with you, like, they're a private company. They can do whatever they want.
That's what centralization being centralization.
Yeah, it was dirty, dude.
Yeah.
It was dirty. So they said, that we were offering a security or some crap like that. And we, there's no, it's not the case at all.
No.
And we asked for like a rebuttal and they just cut us dry. And sure enough, not only like almost a month later, they partner with a project that's doing damn near the same thing as we are doing. A very similar concept. They changed the logo of OpenSea to fit the branding of this studio concept. And it was just so disgusting. And we called them out on Twitter. And then they changed their logo back to their original logo. So that means they're admitting guilt.
Kind they're of. Listening.
Yeah, they're listening, dude.
Well, and right. And there was a piece the Defiant wrote an article about this, about the OpenSea, Open Season rivalry or whatever we want to call this, right? So there's been some press coverage of this. People are paying attention to what those guys are doing.
Yeah, and you know, the funniest thing in that whole article is we're not like vindictive guys, we're just we're trolls, whatever. Spooby said the last line is like, we'll forgive you if you do an airdrop.
That's right. So we should give a shout out to Spooby. He's not here in Denver, but who is for the listeners.
Spooby has become like my best friend, and we hate each other, but we love each other. It's like one of the strangest relationships that I've ever like been involved in as a like, you know, friendship. He's a gift from God. He's just worked so hard. We have just ultimate trust. He'll call me if he needs to move like $12, and I just can't thank him more than that. And that's just he's my co-founder, and he's just great. He works so hard, and very similar people, and we argue a lot. So
and they've never met in real life.
Never met in person.
It's crazy. I've talked to that guy every day for 3 years. I mean, I was bartending. He was working on railroad tracks. I sold my car. His wife was like about to leave him. It was just like really stressful times. And I just know him like my brother. And it was the financial constraints why we've never met each other. But that's just the truth. I mean, eventually, like, dude, we're going to hang out all the time. It is what it is.
But you guys truly bootstrapped this thing.
Dude, from nothing. Yeah. And we never gave up on this idea. For almost 2.5 years, we were writing articles, failing with different productions, trying to get attention. And like, we weren't screaming for it, but it's like we were writing real value. We knew that this concept makes sense. And we just had to iterate until we found like a premiere production that people cared about. And then one day, I honestly thank Spooby for making this work, because I was getting burned out. It was almost a year and a half, maybe 2 years in. And I was just like, damn, dude, I need to figure something else out to do. This sucks. I had been like teaching myself all this 3D crap. And like, I was like, nothing's showing from this. And then he just bust out these models in Unreal Engine. He's like, hey, man, this is pretty cool. Check this out. And then he starts tweeting about it. And this shit just pops off. And then I was like, wait a second, what do you got going on here, buddy? And we just continue to work hard and chip away at it. And the rest is history. I just kind of annoyed everybody until we found the right people and just knocked on Chris's door. And then just, I don't know how this crazy team just came together, but we're just kicking ass right now. So
it's a crazy team. You know, when you and Spooby do eventually meet in person, I feel like, and I'm
going to kiss him on the lips.
I'm looking at our producer, John, right now. I think we got to go on location. Maybe just make it happen. Let's do it in Texas.
Hey,
John will come over.
Hell yeah.
I want to get this on video. I want to see. Let's get the kiss.
Hell yeah. We're gonna cry. Make it a reality TV show.
Yeah. All right. I feel like Korn needs a little bit of airtime here.
For sure.
So Korn, let's talk a little bit about NFT communities. What's in the game today? Like what communities are represented, and then the different ways that communities can get involved with the game, both like individually and collectively, like as it grows.
So today the communities are M'lady,
Gampai Panda, you got Bored Apes, the CryptoPunks, and Pepe, and Ramelio, Retro Doge as well. So
yeah.
and we're looking for more. And the way that they can get involved is by talking to us.
Yep.
And what will that look like if they're going to, so what are different ways communities can get involved?
Well, one way that we're doing this, so I think we created a pretty interesting concept here, just I've never seen anywhere else. The idea, first, we wanted to get these communities involved, and we got some initial communities in because we were like, well, we need to have someone to start. And the whole idea was, how do we get these communities to, you know, to join us? And the first thought that came to our mind, the easiest, was like, oh, let's just talk to, you know, the representatives, the creators of the PFPs, or you know, of the communities, and see if they want to participate. Give them, you know, hey, this is gonna, you know, cost money for us to produce these things, but yeah, we would love to add value to your community, create your, you know, characters, biomes to the game, and have you participate. Then there's a part in me that I personally hated, the idea of going to talk to the creators. Like, dude, that's not what Web3 is about. Web3 is grassroots. It's, again, supposed to be decentralized, supposed to be individuals do these things, you know, initiate grassroots. So it's like, why don't we change the concept a little bit? And talking to these guys, we came up with this idea that, hey, why don't we allow the community to upgrade their NFTs? So anyone, we just need to whitelist their collection. And all we require from the collection is, hey, come do spaces with us, come talk about us, tweet about us, and we whitelist you. So that obviously shows you have some interest. We whitelist your collection, and then we put it on the website that you can, if you have the, you know, the NFT, you pay 0.05 ETH and you upgrade your NFT. And then an upgrade means right now you have early access to the game, and you can mint game passes, right? For anyone to play.
Yeah.
Now, the way we did it is, hey, if 100 people mint, that means obviously your community is interested. That's, you know, 5 ETH. Now we build your character into the game. Now, if 20 ETH worth of the community comes in and upgrades, well, then shows that you really like it, then we build your whole biome in the game. Now, if 40 ETH worth comes in, guess what? We'll do your whole freaking collection, and you can play as your NFT. That means you definitely, you know, love the concept and you want to participate. Then now your community gets in, but what does that mean for them?
Yeah. Right?
And then here we need to talk about a little bit about the concept of the FU money. This is the token that represents the studio that built Open Season. So the idea is we want to distribute the ownership of the production of the studio to everyone that participates, that everyone that, you know, that Web3 way.
Yeah.
So by playing the game, we are, you know, you're collecting these beans, and these beans then you can exchange for FU money, fractional uprising money, but it's FU.
And who wouldn't want FU money?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and the cool thing about FU money is like all these upgrades, all these things, like the liquidity on Uniswap for FU money, all that ETH, we want to put in a pot and you just burn FU money and you get your share. It's a simple concept. We just want to have that pot growing. And anyone at any moment you think you're good, just go burn your FU money, your share FU money, get your ETH and walk away. The rest of the people that decide to stay, their share is going to get bigger because now, you know, there's less FU money, but the ETH is still coming in, hopefully, with the game. So, and of course, the people that play the game passes, they can collect beans and you earn some of those beans as the membership, as the NFT that is linked to that game pass. Now, one thing that is very important to realize here is that we're not upgrading the wallet address. We're actually upgrading the NFT. So that NFT keeps that link to those game passes forever. So if you have an NFT that has, so we're adding utility to that NFT. So the original concept, if we go back to the original concept of anyone can go and add utility. So by adding utility to this NFT, obviously now what's the price, right? Well, how many more people are going to be adding to the Game Pass? Where did you put it? How much is it earning? We want to have it on the website. Obviously, the analytics, you show, you log in with your NFT, you see the analytics, how many people have been playing their Game Passes, how many they've earned, how much you've earned from them. And you're earning FU tokens. You're earning part of the studio. You're becoming owner of the studio with them. So I haven't seen any concept like this. I think it's pretty freaking amazing. We've been talking to a few communities. They love it.
Yeah.
The reception here has been incredible. That's the concept, and it seems to be going well. Right now, we got a few communities, like we'll say, that we're going to talk to. And hopefully, Web2 individuals can come and play the game. They don't know anything about it. But hey, those kids, they're going to learn, hey, I could actually be making a few money by playing the game.
Shit, yeah, dude. Man.
And everyone's kids shit, should be coming home saying, I really want to
make a
few. It's
a meme in itself, right? Exactly. It's like, you can go anywhere. We're talking about an FU market. Like, it's just, it's fun, you know? And also, like, another beautiful thing is just taking a step back. And that's what you always got to do in this project is just take a step back and look at the grand scheme of things. He's talking about how this is integrating with one production. Now, the reason why this is a studio token is we fully intend to make this token usable in other productions as well. So now, if you have different reasons to use this token with only restricted within our ecosystem, that's how you're really trying to make sure that it's not dumped to shit, you know? It's like there's real reason to be interacting with this cryptocurrency,
yeah,
with what we're building around the whole studio. And like, this is a digital studio. I believe that down the line, you're going to have different studios competing for content. And this is probably like, I don't know, 10-year picture or something like that. People are going to start picking up on this idea of this studio token, and they're going to be trying to create like awesome productions. Now, that depends on like how good the content is to interact with that token is going to evaluate whether or not it's worthwhile or not. We've just kind of thought deeply into why it's going to be used. We want to have fun with it. The naming has to be important. FU Money is, it's great, you know? It so is. We're trying to think of like branding wise around the whole thing. So,
and another thing that is extremely important is like, it's a great way to onboard new people to Web3.
Yeah.
Like these kids, they don't know anything about wallets. They don't know anything about, you know, decentralization or any of that. But hey, once they learn that they are actually making a few money playing the game, oh, they're going to learn. They're going to learn about seed phrase. They're going to learn about, you know, cryptography and these things. So that's a great way to get these kids into the system.
Yeah, I think that's, let's go a little more into that. I think that's one of the really interesting things about this, right? It's like for people who are, you know, in this industry or know a bit about it, right? Like, we can geek out on a whole bunch of really exciting elements about what y'all have built, right? The ways for communities to really come self-activate, right? And grow the value of their own NFT communities while also, you know, being growth agents for the game. Like the token, in addition to just, you know, I mean, FU is going to be my favorite ticker, but in addition to just, you know, fun branding, right? It's like, you know, this is fun stuff for us to geek out on, but also like, In pretty short order, people aren't going to need to know even what any of that shit means to just come have fun playing this game.
Yeah, right? That's the idea, man. It's got to be fun first. And what happens with all these play-to-earn games is people are developing stuff thinking that your users are going to come because they're financially motivated. And sure, they will come. But then when that liquidity dries clean and there's nothing left to do that's fun, what are you there for?
Yeah, somebody was talking about the play to earn is like there's like a box on the screen. Were you talking about this?
That was a really good analogy.
I think I've got it. Was it you?
It was the Sanko guys we were hanging out with last night.
Right. Love
there is a box of VC liquidity, and it gets smaller and smaller as the user clicks on it until it's gone. And if there's no fun, the user doesn't play anymore.
That's play to earn. Dude. Right,
it's pretty damn spot.
Sort of the opposite of what's been built here. There's no VC money here.
Love the Sanko guys.
They're real
guys. Those guys are awesome. There's some partnership there.
Yeah, yeah? For sure. Yeah.
Let's hear a little bit about. Well, first of all, yesterday, Sanko, you know, leaderboard was all open season streaming. Right?
Dude, yeah, it was cool. And the best part about everything was, we know that there's bugs. We had been going through like, you know,
it's
like
alpha. That's what you do.
Yeah. So honestly, we went through like 3-week process of getting approved on Epic Games. So we were well aware of where people were going to have issues. But the greatest part about yesterday is people were genuinely saying like, dude, this is actually fun. Like, I can't ask for anything else. And this is just the framework. We had to give people the framework to play a little bit and get their feet wet. I don't think you're going to recognize this game in like a month and a half. And that's all in a good way, you know? It's good to be meticulous about the finer details to entertain people. That's it. So we're just busting our ass on that. But yeah, back to Sanko. Sankos. Sorry, I'm terrible at that. I think that's a correct pronunciation. He'd been saying Sanko last night.
That's what my father drank when he was growing up as a kid. Sanko soda, right?
Sanko soda.
That just sounds bad. That's a Mandela effect. That's not real. Hey. Maybe he drank Sanka coffee. That was a thing when I was a kid. I'm the old man at the table here.
Oh, man.
All right, but sorry. You were saying about Sanko.
Yeah, man. We always kind of... We're cut from the same cloth. I think those guys are just cool. They're cool, man. They have genuine intentions, and everything that they were built is community funded. They don't have any like VC trash that are coming in and just dumping stuff to shit and leaving people with nothing. Like, we never wanted to sell anything that was close to a scam. That's why we've been pushing this thing for like 2 years. So, we'd always watch them, and we've connected and communicated with them, and you know, they've done well. They've kind of popped off a little bit quicker than us, and rightfully so. They're doing interesting things. So now, as we kind of got to the stage where we're able to show what we got, we just kind of brush shoulders again and are like, hey, why don't we just start working together a little bit? And we're doing a collaboration starting Monday where you can win some cool stuff, both directly through us. And how you do that is they have a streaming service called Sanko TV. And if you stream Open Season, the alpha version on there, do it and win some DMT, win some Blizzies, win some all sorts of stuff. We'll figure it out. We'll be friendly.
I love the idea of people who don't know what those things mean inside the space just hearing that.
Oh, they're probably like, what the hell?
That's like they're giving away illicit drugs and hot dogs.
Hell yeah.
It's not those things, folks. Although you never know, but...
DMT and hot dogs. That does sound insane.
That's a party.
Yeah. Who wouldn't want some DMT and a hot dog in the real world, right?
And some FU money. I mean, it all, these are great tastes that taste great together.
Oh, this space is insane. We were having a very bizarre conversation earlier, but I'll pass that on to, I'll let Sasha go. Yeah, that's for another day. But anyways.
Don't worry. We can always edit.
That's true. I mean, there's no way I would bring that up, but it is pretty damn funny.
So, you know, the idea of this show, Are We There Yet, is talking about, you know, where all this on-chain stuff is. And, you know, in different episodes, we'll get into sort of different verticals. Obviously, we're talking a lot about gaming here. You've talked a little bit about this, Johnny, in, you know, a lot of Web3 gaming has been about play to earn, which... You know, I think in a lot of cases has just meant people coming in and playing games that maybe weren't even that fun, just doing like rote tasks and clicking buttons to earn a little something to go, you know, dump it until the supply is depleted and then it's gone. I'm sure there are some better examples than that, but it seems like that's just a general trend. What you've built here and are building out further is obviously very different. But I wanted to ask you, like, bigger picture, where do you see all of this going? Like, where is on-chain gaming going, and what will this look like in a couple of years?
Oh God. I mean, that's a lot to think about. I think, what I think is going to be really cool, and I sincerely believe that it might head in this direction, is you can use the financial incentive to play the games in a creative way. That can change like the battlefield, right? For our sake. And I think people are going to start being more creative on how they bring these financial incentives into these games, because you really can change the flow of the battlefield if you dangle a carrot in front of people to do something that you wouldn't traditionally do in like a Web 2 game, right? So for instance, these beans are quite important in our game. Now, if you can lure people away from where they should be to where they're vulnerable, that really changes the feeling for the game. I think you're going to get people that are going to use these financial incentives quite more creatively to make something that's intriguing. So beyond that, that's just one facet that I think it will make an implication to the gaming scene. Beyond that, I think you're just going to see some wild stuff from this. I think the studio concept is going to pick up quite a bit. Sasha had a really, really good, 5-year look ahead when he was talking about like the marketplace. And if
FU
you want
marketplace,
yeah, if you want to elaborate a little bit on that,
a lot of like the game assets, like the 3D. I think obviously the engines themselves will be more integrated into Web3, into the chains. It's going to be more seamless. These assets will be interoperable between games. The ability for, you know, the creators of these assets to monetize and earn also from the sales of these assets directly on chain, happening in real time, I think could be even like the ability for individuals that believe that some assets could be interesting. And this is something that I've been thinking about. Like, I love the concept of ICO. People hate it, trash it, but I freaking love it. I love the fact that Ethereum was an ICO, right? Mm-hmm. And look at Ethereum today, right? And the ability of individuals that have an idea to be able to, maybe anyone can come and support them to create that idea, to create that 3D asset, that game asset, and then they can themselves also earn from the sales of these assets, the usage of these assets in game. Yeah. I think this unlocks massive potential. And to be able to have a market, FU marketplace for that, it's also pretty freaking amazing. And because these assets, they earn their utility through the game, you can enforce things like today, what you can't enforce, which are the NFT royalties. You would be able to enforce it because, hey, you don't pay the royalties, the game doesn't accept the NFT.
Yeah.
It doesn't load, it doesn't work. So that now all of a sudden it's like, you want to pay the royalties because what's the point? It's just a JPEG if you don't.
Yeah, yeah, and you're doing what, you know, a lot of others have tried to do but not been able to do, which is actually support creators
exactly.
and let individuals go and build things and thrive. Go ahead.
So I don't mean to interrupt, but just elaborating on what we're talking about with like the royalties and all that stuff. What's kind of happening? I'm just gonna explain. Like we did almost like 500 volume in Ethereum in not very long, and we made a total of a little under $100, and that's ridiculous.
For folks that don't know, can you unpack what that means?
Yeah, so let's do a little math right now. What is Ethereum price at right now?
Like, let's say 3,500.
Yeah, 3,500 even, right? That is $1,750,000 worth of traded. Of our assets traded on the open market. And for royalties, we made a little under $100.
Yeah.
So the reason why that is happening is you got to think of it from the marketplace perspective. They're competing against each other to be the premier place where volume is happening. So naturally, the creators are just going to get cut out. And that was, they did it kind of sly. They're like, yeah, now traders can decide if they want to add royalties. And you know damn well what they're going to do because it's affecting their bottom line. They're just going to cut it out. So that was just a natural progression of things. And it's very not Web3, right? So go ahead.
If this was Ethereum volume on a Web3 exchange like Uniswap at 3 basis points, that would be $5,250. That's 520x.
That's there you go. Same. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for this, Corn. Yes.
Yeah. There you go. Exactly. Right. Yeah. There's our stats, man. But yeah, $100.
It's stupid.
And you get delisted from OpenSea.
They love us. Gosh.
What the hell?
I meant to ask this before we were talking about the OpenSea stuff earlier. Like, I mean, so one, folks should know that the like OpenSea delisting the the FU Studios NFT has zero impact on people being able to go play the game. But folks need to know that you need to go get it somewhere else. And a lot of people who think of OpenSea as the place to go, but they can go to Blur.
Yeah. Eden.
Yeah.
There are places to go. And to be honest with you, it's like, hey, they're making their own bed. If you want to just cut people out that are doing innovation, hey, we're doing really good volume. That's your own fault. And I think they're making their own bed. It's what they want to do.
But I want to talk a little bit about Epic, the company. I find it really interesting that in this context of, you know, OpenSea being sort of a bad guy, kind of big company, centralized, like whatever, bully, towards you guys. Then you have this company in Epic who's way bigger. And yet, you know, it seems like they're pretty cool. Like they're fighting, they're fighting Google, they're fighting Apple. I loved that, you know, when they came with that 1984 style ad when, you know, when Apple kicked Fortnite off of the iTunes store for, you know, for not wanting to pay their 30% tax and everything. Anyways, like Epic seems to be doing things that, you know, obviously they're a business and they have a long-term strategy and all that, but they seem to be way more community-minded and way more innovation-minded. When I go, right, if anybody goes to the Epic Game Store and looks at Open Season, it breaks down. This is an NFT game. This is a Web3 game. Like they seem to be embracing crypto in a way. Am I giving them too much credit? Are they that cool? They seem pretty cool. They're slow because they're a big company. But
Well, I mean, dude, from our experience, we've had nothing but positive vibes from them. It's even funny because the guy who onboarded us, his name is Lamar, and they're just a meme going around like Lamar to Valhalla. Like everybody's saying that in our Discord because
bullish Lamar.
Yeah, Lamar's a man. He's our dude.
I hope that's his real name.
It is. He's our guy.
At the start of Epic Games, their first game Unreal Tournament in 1999, they put all of the power in the hands of their users. They didn't have any centralized servers. They gave instructions for all of their users to spin up their own servers as they will. All they did was give them hardware specs and people could go and spend $10 a month and use their own servers, name them, select their own game types like Capture the Flag or Deathmatch or Team Deathmatch, which weapons they wanted to use. It was them giving all of the tools to the users, even to make their own maps. They had like UT map making tools. So
yeah,
it's been like that from the start.
I love it.
And I think they just have the right idea of how to gain traction. They're given these incredible tools and they're just like, hey, go play with it. And that's kind of what we're doing. And now they're opening up to this new environment that not many people are familiar with is, which is Web3, and they've just been helpful. But it's kind of crazy because we are quite new into the scene, and not to like knock them or anything, but they were like asking for some help to set up MetaMask and stuff like that. And
dude,
we're on the edge of this being, you know.
So you onboarded Epic Games to MetaMask. Is that right? Is that how what I just heard?
I don't know if I can take that credit, but
you should take it.
Yeah, all right, I did.
They listened to everything you said.
That's great. I mean, they're super huge, cool. Right? I mean, yeah, that's awesome.
They were super, super cool. Granted, we caught them at a transition stage, I think.
Yeah.
They were going through some difficult times, I think. And then they were about to release their huge update for Fortnite. So we were in the first process of the pre-alpha, which I'm not going to lie, it was kind of garbage, the pre-alpha. But it was fun. Like it had a little bit of what's built the foundation for where we're at now. But that took some time to get approved. So it was like 2 or 3 months. And now that we got the alpha, which is an entirely different game, it only took us like a week. So they're helpful. They're helpful.
Mostly Lamar.
Lamar's a man. Yeah.
That's awesome. Shout out to Lamar. Dude.
I'm the plug.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think they're doing good things. Only time will tell because we're so early in this whole situation with like the gaming community. I think Unity is interesting too because people are just building stuff web-based, and that's when you go web-based, you're not really beholden to a platform where Epic is exposing you. So you do have a little bit of you know, you still have a gatekeeper within Epic. You have to accept that. Whereas Unity, you can do stuff all web-based, but they seem helpful. And what we're doing is the engine's insane. You just have to respect the tools that they're providing. It's crazy what you can do with that. And we decided to go on that, and we're quite happy because I just see a lot of stuff in Unity, and you need some serious skill to make stuff look like impressive on Unity. Whereas Unreal is like, it's quite developer friendly and you can just make awesome stuff. Like,
Yeah, so. And then you're not asking a bunch of crypto people to download an executable. Like,
exactly. That's a big deal.
Trust me, bro. OpenSeason.exe.
That's a big deal, dude. Yeah. And that, you hit the nail on the head for that, because everybody is already sketchy about clicking a link on something in this space. So,
yeah. Look, I think, you know, that's like, there are a lot of these, you know, I don't know, people call them like Web 2.5 scenarios happening right now, which I think is great, right? It's not the be all end all. We'd love to see this all be decentralized, not have these, you know, these entities that are ultimately in control. However, like, especially with a company like Epic that seems to be, you know, pretty down
for sure
to innovate, it's like, great, use their rails, right? Get way more folks onboarded to crypto in the process, meet them where they are, where they already have Epic installed, where you can go to their PlayStation or their Xbox. I mean, come on, how else could we do that anytime soon?
Don't forget, this all started two guys that don't even know each other in real life.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Now we just all met for the first time here in Denver. Yeah. I mean, not all of us, but, you know, I met.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Like, now this time. So we're all located in different locations in the world. We're all able to collaborate and build this together. I mean, that's only possible because of
That is, it really is a weird pill to swallow that I'm like, I've never met him in person.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, he's like a brother to me. And obviously there's not like we don't want to hang out. It's just, dude, we've just been poor. I mean, that's just the honest to God truth. Every time that we had, we would be spending on just trying to figure out what sort of production people cared about. We got a lot of weird stuff before this, and that's okay. You know, we came full circle, and now, you know, it really would, the only way that this wouldn't have worked is if we stopped trying. And because, you know, if we would have come up with something weird that had some type of niche market, it probably would have worked. But I think we're fortunate to figure out that this is where we need to be, and it's exciting.
Okay, so the game is live now on Epic Game Store in alpha. As we talked about, folks need, at this stage of things, they need to hold a Studio Pass NFT to play. You've got instructions for that on your website for folks that want to roll that way. If NFT communities want to get in touch about the NFT upgrade path or working with you guys on, you know, creating stuff within the game, like how do they best get in touch with this crew?
I let Warren answer that because a man for connecting with these.
Best way to get in touch is anywhere on Twitter, come into Discord and talk to us. Let us know. Sure. And if you're a community member of an NFT project and you want to use that avatar, you want to play with your avatar in Open Season, tell everyone.
Yeah. Exactly. And start. And another thing that another thing we touched on is some people think like, why would these guys be asking for money for this? Well, there's a very good reason. We are not approaching any VC money. Not only that, we're trying to, I mean, we have developers we have to pay. And beyond that, we're trying to build a little bit of liquidity for the token. And we're not asking for something that's unreasonable. And at a certain point, when I think this game hits like critical mass and we have all sorts of these different brands in this melting pot, it's going to be more valuable to be a part of it than to not be. So the early people, the early communities that get involved, they're the ones that are going to benefit the most. And at a certain point, it's like, in the best case scenario, you know, you have to have tempered expectations, never overshoot things. There might come a time where it's like, we just have so many people that are trying to onboard their communities because we're going to work our ass off to make this what it needs to be. It's going to be harder to get involved in the community. So you got to think of this as like a brand awareness approach from an NFT perspective. If your community is going to come in and you're experimenting in this battle that everybody is getting involved in, and you have all these teams from different communities fighting each other as a team, and you're the talk of the town for your community, and you're left out of the battle, that's not exciting. It's not good for the brand in the long scheme of things. And like, for instance, we were showing this downstairs and some guy came up to me, he was like, oh my god, is that Milady? And I was like, yeah, for sure. And then he's like, oh, cool. Look, that's Kenpai Panda. And it's starting to, I think the domino has been pushed and the brand is starting to speak for itself. Our Twitter is doing quite well. But that's the idea. Like these NFT projects need to see from a perspective, you're going to own part of the studio and it's a brand awareness thing. So it's not like you're paying for nothing. Like yeah. We're giving you what we're offering. We're giving you a slice of the studio. So you got to think of it from the grand scheme of things. Always take a step back and look at like the big picture for this. And it's hard to because people had tunnel vision with all these PFPs. You just see dollars and cents and you just see these JPEGs that are like maybe getting wash traded for 4,250 Ethereum. That's just like $15 million. Like, dude, come on. That's crazy. How could you not pay attention to that?
Yeah.
But this thing, it's like, yeah, it's in its infancy. But if you spend time to soak your mind up with the whole grand scheme of things, this will be copy pasta. The studio concept will be copied. And you're going to have different studios competing for productions. So it's like, we have a really good one right now, I think. And NFT projects, come talk to us so we can make it happen. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I think, you know, I can see a world where next year's ETH Denver, there's a March Madness kicking off with a bracket all the NFT communities that are on open season playing against each other for global domination.
You'd hope so. And who knows what we're going to hear in that proxy chat. I'll tell you that.
say a little bit about that. There was some really cool stuff going on yesterday.
Oh, for sure. So we keep going back to like, we're kind of trolls. And we want people to have fun. So we've incorporated a proxy chat is another, it's a fancy word for like proximity chat. So whoever's close to you, you can hear what they're saying. And right now it's probably within, I don't know, for reference, probably like 50 meters within the game. Think of it around like 50 meters. You can hear what people are saying to you. Well, just imagine what that's going to be in a competitive environment. Like there was some very funny things said yesterday and people were speaking in Mandarin. That's pretty cool. I mean, this is alpha, right? I mean, we're going to go back and hit the ground running next week. And I hope that this game is not even recognizable in a month and a half in a good way, because we have a lot of mechanics and concepts to add to this. But the proxy chat was just all strategy for content. I think it's going to be people saying it's just going to be madness, and that's what we want, you know?
Heck yeah.
Should be good. Get in there.
I didn't mention
openseason.games,
by the way.
Yeah.
Website.
Yeah, so yeah. let's do that. So so we will include in the show notes here links to openseason.games is the website. They can also search Open Season on Epic Games. We'll include links to Twitter. You've got Open Season on Twitter and Fractional Uprising Studios on Twitter. And the Discord that Korn mentioned, we can link to all these things. Like you said, folks should DM. They should jump into the Discord. They should get in touch.
Come say hello. We're in there all day just talking. Yeah,
I love it. Any parting words anyone would like to leave
the
audience with?
It's been fun.
Right on.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like I said before, I keep coming back to the same thing, but I think it's important to have the ownership of the community, have the values, like the crypto values, come back, you know, to the reason why we started all this. Let's not forget that, and let's just, you know, make it happen. I love the concept, love what these guys are doing, and I truly hope they're very successful.
It should be fun. I think it's hard to wrap your head around like the whole sales scheme and like why everything matters, but once some more projects do get involved, it'll make a lot more sense for others to follow suit. So it's like, you know, it we're in exciting times and we just want to make a good game. That's it.
Yeah.
So
when I first played Open Season, I could not believe this was your first game. Like what you and Spoovy have made, this is the first one, the second one. Oh man,
dude, I thank you very much, man. That feels good. It's been a long road, but me and him, we just argue, and I think it's a good thing. We just got to be meticulous and like really care about every single thing to bring the player in. Like, you want them to feel effective. You want them to feel like they're doing good stuff. And that's why it doesn't even have to be entirely realistic. I think you should focus on like making stuff that will make the player feel important while they're playing, you know? Like, you want to strike emotions, and that's everything in life, right? So the more particular we are on the fine, minute details, now we have a little bit of help, you know, like financially and with people that have the skills and the chops to do this, to do things better than us. We're just kind of guiding the ship at this point, and it should be, we're going to make this a lot of fun. We have to. We don't have any other choice. So,
right on. All right, last topic for y'all. This is more of like a not lightning round. I don't know what to call this. Okay. We're in East Denver. There's a ton of people around. We've been talking to people for a few days now. Masking the open season team. What are some of the projects and people you've been chatting to that are doing cool things? Good people, good vibes. Who do you want to give some airtime to?
Ah, man. This is kind of probably an unexpected answer, but 20 minutes ago we met probably one of the coolest people in this whole conference, right?
That's right.
Dude, isn't that insane? So this guy, he's been like programming bots for Counter-Strike. And that's, I mean, dude, you talked to him a little bit longer than me.
Yeah, no, he's actually the organizer, one of the organizers here. He did all the space downstairs, that chill area, that whole, like, he did everything for East Denver here. And Evan.
What a dude.
Shout out to Evan and Matt downstairs in the game area.
First of all, they hooked us up incredibly just by allowing us to showcase the game and all that stuff. And then I was talking to him, and it was like, oh, by the way, I've been building games for like years. I did AI bots for Counter-Strike. I would love to help you guys out. I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. Yeah. So shout out to him, because it's just incredible that
And it's also quite important to, I'm going to be completely candid and honest with you right now. Like, in our development stage, we're having it, like, our bots are not good. That's something we have to fix. Like, the shit's not very good. We're using a decision tree, and they're not making like, or they don't feel organic in the game. They feel like a little dumb, and that's okay. We are aware of it, but it's like, that's almost divine intervention. This guy just comes up and starts talking to us. He's like, oh yeah, I've been doing this for 15 years. Why don't we talk?
Not to mention, he was like, oh, you know, I do like 70 events a year, and I would love to help you guys, you know, just with these events. And what can I do? Like, oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, that's badass. He's a cool dude. I think, honestly, just that conversation was the most like exciting to me. And there's some people doing amazing stuff here. It's just, I don't have much bandwidth to think outside of like this game, you know? So
I think the Sanko guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They are awesome. I know what you mean, Crypty, when you said that they're cut from the same cloth. They're like the crypto mullet. They're degen in the front, business in the back. They're serious, just like us.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're having a blast, but they're actually serious people.
They're cool too, man. Yeah. Like, I would hang out with them. That's
hell yeah.
That's a ultimate compliment, I think. Not that I won't hang out with anyone, but it's like, you know,
you would,
they're good dudes.
Choose to hang out with those guys.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, great. I think we're good here. All right. Thank you, Crypto Sapiens, for being a part of this.
All right, guys.
Yeah, good talk. Mate. Good.